Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
I feel like I ought to have a different sermon after that song. You know, it's one of those where it's like, well, let's just go ahead and turn over to Matthew 28, right, and start talking about the Great Commission. But we are finishing up our study on how we can help restore lost brethren. We're going to finish it up tonight. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do, this is something that's new, or at least it's been on the website for a while, but we haven't really promoted it yet. And that is an opportunity for you to ask a question. What I'd like to do is, I haven't picked which Sunday I'll do this on just yet, whether it's a first Sunday, a fourth Sunday, or every fifth Sunday or something, but to use that Sunday evening to answer questions that are sent in. And you can send in a question. It can be one that you want answered publicly. It could be one that you want answered privately. You want me to just send an email back to you answering the question. But we're going to try to take advantage of that and answer biblical questions that the people have questions about, but, well, it doesn't seem like Travis ever talks about that. I mean, come on. So if you have a question, please send that in to me, and you can do it through the website. You can hand me a note. I don't care how you get it to me. Through the website, it is anonymous, or it can be, I believe. So if you want it to be anonymous, you can do it that way. But I want to encourage you to take advantage of that, as I'll be looking forward to being challenged, I guess, myself in regards to those things. But tonight I want us to focus on what we can learn from those that came back. You know, we talk about, okay, what can we do to help those who have fallen away to come back? And we come up with all kinds of things on what we can do. Well, I've got some things that people have said, this is what helped me come back. And these are some of the lessons that have been learned from them. The first lesson is, you probably know a lot of prodigals yourself, people that have been lost and have come back. You might be surprised about how many of those people you know, because they fell away, whether it was for a few months or whether it was for 25 years. You probably know some of those people, and I'd encourage you to talk to them about it. Say, hey, what brought you back? What was it that got you to come back? And get those answers from them, because it will help you as you reach out to others who have fallen away. So take advantage of that. When you know these people, hey, what did people do that helped you? And maybe what did they do that kind of pushed you away even more, right? So ask those questions. And probably the first lesson is the fact that the passing of time doesn't mean that all hope is gone. When somebody begins to fall away, sometimes we think, well, if they don't come back within a few weeks or within a month or two, it's like, man, I feel like it's a lost cause. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I've called. I've sent cards. I've sat down and mentioned a few verses with them, and we get frustrated. We get upset that, well, I've shared the truth. I've done everything I know to do, and I've given them everything. And so sometimes we feel hopeless as those reaching out. Sometimes it's them that feels hopeless. You know, the guilt that they have on their own hearts that's holding them back, and they're feeling hopeless and coming back. And so there's a lot of things going on in that situation. And just because it's been a few weeks, just because it's been a few years, doesn't mean all hope is gone. One of the things that the people that were in this study said was, don't give up on me. Somebody didn't give up, and that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm a part of the Lord's church. And so don't give up. Keep trying. You know, maybe you try some things differently. Maybe you do the same things. But don't give up. Remind them that you're praying about them. Let them know that you're thinking about them. And do what you can to encourage them as best you know how. We sometimes get frustrated, but the reality is that they have to get through some things. They're struggling with something. We say we're there to help, but they have to make that decision. We can't make them make it. They have to do it. So the next thing is, age is not a factor. You know, we have all kinds of studies that come out that talk about, well, we're losing our 18 to 24 year olds in the church like crazy, right? It's like they go off to college and then it's like, well, all faith is gone and we're just beside ourselves on what to do. And we're freaking out about the fact that all these young men and women are leaving the church. They're losing their faith. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there might be some that are falling away completely in that, but a lot of times they've fallen away, but later on they've come back. You know, they went and they did some of those things. They were that prodigal. They went about and did things their own way and then realized, you know what? Mom and Dad did have it right. And living for God and following His word is the best course. And you know, now that they found out that they're pregnant, you know, I'm married, I'm pregnant, now what do I do? They've come back to the Lord's church because they realize I don't want my child to be raised in a godless home, right? They start to realize some of these things and start to come back. And so, yes, it's not fun to see that happening in people's lives. And when it's like they were so strong when they were in the youth group, or they were so strong when they were here, and then when they're gone, it seems like, oh, why did they leave? Where did they go? Why is this happening? But all hope isn't gone. And it doesn't have to be those young ages. It can happen to anybody. Sin and Satan are not a respecter of persons, right? It happens to everybody. And anything can pull you away if you let it, right? Anything can come in your life and start to just slowly drift you away from God. And then the next thing you know, you're the one that's fallen away. And you could have been a Christian for 40 plus years. You could have, doesn't matter the age. It can affect anyone. And so age isn't necessarily a factor. It affects young adults, college age, newlyweds. You know, some fall away in their middle-aged years. Our faith is tested always. As we live this life, we all have struggles throughout it, and it's going to be tested. Question is, are you going to stay faithful? Are you going to remember your God? Are you going to remember His word? And not only that, but are there going to be godly people in your life that will reach out? And that's part of this study is we have to be those people. You know, if we are those spiritual people, as Galatians chapter 6 talks about, we need to do our best to reach out to them and help them. Another point is it's not always the fact that they are not here. Sometimes the people that are pretty much gone are actually sitting right next to you. They put on a good face on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they're involved in all kinds of things that aren't godly, and they're at that point of leaving, and in many respects they've left already. It's just that they have the habit of coming every Sunday, and they're here, and we need to understand that they can be among us right now. And we can help them right now. The question is, do we know our brethren good enough to recognize the issues in their lives, to recognize the fact that they're not where they need to be with God? That they're coming in and, you know, used to be, this person would welcome me with a smiling face and would be the first person to do this and welcome other people. And now it's like they're coming in at the last minute, and they're leaving as soon as the invitation's given. What's going on with Jim? You know, I'm just going to throw a name out there. I hope there's no Jims in here. Yeah, there's a Jim right there. It's not him, though. I don't think so, anyway. I bet you that made you feel good. but it could be anybody, and we need to be paying attention. We need to have our eyes peeled and our ears ready to listen. We need to be willing to help them now. And this was a quote from one of the people that had basically been in this situation. He said, "I found that I could arrive at the last minute and leave right away, so hardly anyone got the opportunity to know me. When I first started drifting away, not many knew. Sharing my personal life with Christians was inviting involvement I did not want at the time. Few Christians knew much about my life." And that person went on to say the only people that really knew the struggle going on in their life was close family and some close friends. And he was doing everything he could to avoid the church. He didn't want to have that confrontation. He didn't want to have that conflict. Let's face it, it's not always a comfortable situation to have someone come to you and say, I think you're not living right, brother. I think things are going on in your life that need to change. It's not a comfortable situation. Nobody's going to want to have that conversation. It doesn't feel good. But the reality is the conversation does need to happen. Another point that is learned is that the guilt is always there. They might have fallen away, and they may talk a good game and say, I don't care about God, I don't care about this, I don't care about anybody over there. But the guilt is still there, and it's still eating away inside. A lot of the people that talk about coming back is the fact that guilt was ever present within them. It was just constantly there. And when it was just finally at that moment, if you read about the prodigal son in Luke, it says that he came to his senses, right? It's like at that moment where just finally clicked. I don't have to live with this guilt. I can change this. I can get back right with God. And it was just at those moments that they could figure it out and come back. But that guilt is ever present. And guess what? When they really don't want to speak to a Christian brother or sister, it's because that guilt is there. They recognize that if you're coming and knocking on their door, it just brings everything back up. And it can be upsetting to them. That guilt is there. But that guilt is a tool that can be used to affect their heart and to affect their soul. And they can come back to God. So don't ever give up. One of the things that they said is reaching out really did make a difference. Even though there were times when they hated it. this brother won't leave me alone. He comes by every week. He calls me every other week. It could be frustrating, but when they finally came back, they said, I knew someone cared. I knew someone was thinking about me. I knew someone was concerned for me. And whenever I did need anything, they were one of the people I called, right? Because they didn't give up. Reaching out really does make a difference, even if it might not be the most comfortable situation. When they come back, don't expect everything to be perfect, right? There's still things that might be going on in their lives that they're having to repent and change, and they're going through that process. Just like when you became a Christian, it wasn't like automatically, after you were baptized, I was the most holy person ever, right? There were still things that you were involved in or that you needed to change, and you were going through that repentance portion of coming to God, and you had to start to change those things in your life. And as you learned and as you grew, you realized you were still doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you needed to fix that. So it's not like when they come back and they come forward or they ask for forgiveness and they ask for these prayers that all of a sudden their life is back 100% and they're good to go and they're good to roll. It can take some time and be there with them and help them along. And I've already mentioned this, but the last thing was don't ever give up. I know that there are moments when it can seem hopeless. It can seem like they don't want to listen to me. They don't want to hear anything I have to say. And yet, it's those moments that they recall. The people that have come back is, I'll use Jim again. Jimmy came to me. I'll use it for a good purpose this time. Jimmy came to me and talked to me on multiple occasions. And it made a difference. I realized because of him that I needed to get back with God. I needed to make things right. And he continually encouraged me to do that. I hated it at the time, but it was because I knew he was right. That was a lot of what people had to say when they said, what made you come back? Well, I knew people cared, and I knew what I was doing was wrong, and they reminded me of those things. So here's some things that were mentioned by them is from a question. The question was, how did you feel when Christians reached out? They said that their heart was hardened. They resented it. Some of them said, well, only one person reached out besides my mom. Another said it was uncomfortable. And some others said they were thankful for people that came after they came back. They might even be thankful for the fact that they came, even though they really didn't want to hear what they had to say. It was just this confirmation of, well, people really do care for me. When asked what made them come back, they said that there was a trying time in their life. They had hit rock bottom, and it was a matter of, I know one place I can go, right? And it's to the Lord's church. It's to the Lord's body. I know that those people will help me, and I got to turn to God for His assistance. And so they said when hitting rock bottom, that's what really helped them come back. Others said that someone at his work had quoted a verse. You know, it wasn't even a brother or sister that, you know, from church. That it was just a coworker that happened to quote a verse, and it just clicked in his mind. Said, "Man, I haven't been living right, and I need to get back. I need to be doing what's right." So, just understanding that quoting scripture can make a difference. It doesn't always have to be what you say. Let's let God's word work. It's powerful. It will do its job. It doesn't come back void. One other person said, I did everything I knew God would hate. And then eventually I realized how foolish it was. Did all these things, and they realized how messed up their life became because of it. And that's what caused them to come back. I used this example earlier, but one lady said that she got pregnant, and her and her husband felt like we need God in our lives. I don't want to bring this child into the world and it be a godless home. I want God there. They wanted to come back before. You can tell that was the case. But when it was just them, I'll be okay. But when they felt responsibility for someone else, it was a prime moment in their life to get right with God, because they wanted to make sure their child would have a relationship with God. Something that I think is important for each of us is we have to be patient. It's not going to be an automatic thing. There's no gotcha verse that's going to make them come back. You know, there's none of that is going to happen. We have to understand that they have to make the decision themselves. And so we just have to be patient, have to never give up. They will come back if they make the choice. We need to remind them of eternity. One person said the reason he came back was because a friend of his said, when I get to heaven, will you be there? And that was the question he asked him, and he said that made me realize I'm not in the right position here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here. And you know, this is a passage talking about the day of the Lord, starting in verse 1. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Notice verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. That constant encouragement that needs to come from our brothers and sisters, recognizing the fact that eternity is upon us. We don't know when God will return. We don't know when Christ is going to come. That day is appointed and He knows, but we don't. And that's a perfectly good passage that we could use to encourage someone. Hey, you had this. You tasted this salvation. But right now you don't have it. And this is what you can look forward to if you come back, if you make things right with God. And another thing I want to mention is how important it is for leaders within the church to do their best. I know at times it's hard when you think about what elders are involved in and how important a preacher's role is in regards to this, but you know, elders are usually, it's their second job, you know, serving as an elder. A lot of times they've got their full-time position and then they're having meetings. You know, you leave Sunday morning after worship and they stay an extra hour or two to talk about something, or they show up early, or it's a Wednesday night. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they're trying to get done with the minimal amount of time they have after working all day. And then they're also expected to go and do what? Visit and minister and help people, that these sheep that might be wandering astray, right? And they're called to do that. Let's look at a couple of passages here. First one here in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Or how about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." You know, our leaders have a big job to do, and they need to be doing their best to seek out those sheep that have gone astray. And it does make a difference. A lot of people mentioned how when an elder came, how big of a deal that was. Sometimes they would say, "I hated that this person came because they didn't know me." But when one of the elders came, when it was a good friend that knew me at church, when they came by, that really meant something. So for the elders, for myself as the preacher, for any of us that are leading in one way or another, when we have our friends that we know and we love, if they're the ones that are drifting and falling away, it makes a difference when it's us that goes to them. It really does. And one last thing, and then we'll close it for this evening. With this lesson, it's been really, really good for me, because as you look at your life as a preacher, when you started off, you're thinking, "All right, all I got to do is preach the word, right? Just proclaim the word." But you realize the ministering side of it, and how there are people that don't necessarily need a sermon. They need a hug. They need someone to come alongside them and pick them up to help bear their burdens. And so this study has been good for me. You know, it's those things that you knew, you've studied it before, you know it, but it really hits you when you get into the lives of people, when you see the struggles that they have. You understand how big of a deal it is when they receive that helping hand, when someone is there willing to help bear the burden. So my challenge for you is, maybe you can be that burden bearer to to help someone else. And I want you to think about one person that you know right now that could use a phone call from you, or a card, or maybe you can drop by their house. Whatever it is you think that would be best, what you can do for them, that's the challenge I'm giving you tonight. For those of you here that are ready to make a change, you realize that you haven't been living right with God. You may not have been one of those that has completely fallen away, but you've been coming and you're saying, I'm not exactly right with God in my life right now. And I need the prayers of my brothers and of my sisters and their help. And I need my God. It's His invitation that we give to you tonight as we stand and as we sing.